Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way. Hello, and welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Today, you have just me, Amy. I miss you. It's funny, Amy and I, we record together every single week, or the idea is that we record together every week. What really usually happens is we jump on Zoom together and we talk and we connect and we enjoy each other. And so many weeks we never hit record. Today was one of those weeks. And what was funny about it is we actually had this really good, rich conversation around protector parts and how we have clients who, and we've been here, but they want comfort and peace and they're looking for somebody to comfort them. But then the person that they need to comfort them either isn't in a place or is dangerous to them emotionally and they can't get that comfort, but then they want that comfort. So they feel just completely stuck. So we had this great, rich conversation about that. We never hit record. And then our time was up. And so Amy went off to a training that she had to do, and I'm going to record. And then that episode, I'm sure we'll do in a future episode that's coming up. But in the meantime, something that I have been seeing in my work that I thought would be something interesting to talk about would be a type of somatic healing that I see. Somatic referring to healing of the body. So when we go through trauma, we are impacted in many different ways. And when we're talking about betrayal, we have the relational trauma, we have the psychological trauma, and we also have this physical trauma. And your brain can't differentiate the pain that comes from this betrayal and this trauma from a physical pain. Our body reacts like it's a physical pain. And our body also reacts to this perceived danger and this threat. Now, the amount of individuals who go through betrayal trauma have PTSD. And so when we have PTSD, we are not just talking about this was really hard and it hurts. No, we are talking about this post-traumatic stress disorder that lasts for a significant period of time where there are flashbacks, there are memories, there's feeling like you're reliving it. Your body is responding like you're back in the event of either just finding out or one of those times where you're extremely unsafe. Another qualifier for PTSD is if there's not that physical safety. And so for some of our partners, they have been exposed to STDs. They have not been physically safe. There has been not just the emotional abuse that can come through the lying and the hiding and the deceiving and the gaslighting, but there has been physical violence as well. And that is higher in those who have had this sexual addiction in their relationship. And so when we have these PTSD symptoms, we want to treat the PTSD. The best way to treat PTSD and trauma in general is we are not only going at it from a cognitive, this thinking logical approach, but we have to heal the body as well. You'll hear of in therapy where they talk about like a top-down healing or a bottom-up healing. A top-down healing would be we're going to start with the cognitive. We're going to learn about it. We're going to learn about feelings. Then we're going to move into feeling the feelings. You listening right now to a podcast would be a top-down approach. A bottom-up approach is we are going to go really into the body. We are going to start healing that nervous system because when you go through trauma, your nervous system is completely dysregulated. Trauma impacts your nervous system. And so you have your parasympathetic nervous system that regulates that calm and relaxation. But when your sympathetic nervous system gets activated with that fight, flight, or freeze, when it sees this perceived danger, our body is made to be able to move in and out. And that parasympathetic can jump in and say, okay, now it's safe. Now let's start slowing down the gut. Let's start bringing the heart rate down. Let's start calming you down. But when our sympathetic nervous system is constantly activated, then we can have long-term consequences from that. So when we do this bottom-up healing, we really want to look at that dysregulated nervous system. We want to calm the nervous system And then that allows us to move more into the thoughts and the thinking, and we're better able to handle that because we don't have our body constantly sending these alarms. Now, a mixture of bottom up and top down can be really beneficial too. So if you are doing therapy that includes some yoga therapy or some breathing exercises or some meditation, those type of things, those bottom up, if you're doing that in conjunction with listening to podcasts and reading and learning, then you're getting some of that top down as well. And those can work together beautifully. So all of that lays a foundation for what I want to talk about today. And there is a new treatment. It's been out for a bit, but it's getting more mainstream popular, I would say the last 5 years or so. And that is ketamine treatments. Now, ketamine has been known to be used illegally as a street drug, but it is not a street drug. It was actually created to be an anesthesia to use for animals. But they actually found that ketamine was doing so much more than that. And they started testing it and researching it for PTSD. And what they found is ketamine was getting really good results on helping people who had persistent chronic depression, who were more resistant to treatment. They found ketamine was actually able to make a huge difference and help. And it's thought that one of the main reasons why ketamine can help with PTSD and really other mood disorders, depression, anxiety, bipolar, is what it does is it looks at the overactivity of the N-methyl D-aspartate, the NMDA receptor in the brain. And so what it does is ketamine, it affixes to this NMDA receptor and it blocks it from being set into motion by glutamate, which is a neurotransmitter. And then it helps mute the consequences of the PTSD symptoms. So by linking these receptors, ketamine is able to increase the amount of glutamate neurotransmitters in the space between the neurons. So in a more simplified term, it helps those neurons wire together and fire together better. So when you get these receptors that are working together, you actually get higher neuroplasticity in the brain. So when you are doing regular ketamine treatment in conjunction with your therapy and your other work, you get those neurotransmitters that are hooking together and wiring together better, and it helps the work that you're doing, your brain be able to get it and have it stick better. My brain's going two different ways with this. With addiction, this can be really beneficial because not only is it going to be helping heal the past trauma and the PTSD, and the depression, the anxiety, not only does it help with those things, but it helps you be able to better solidify and help those neurons come together with the skills and the tools you're learning of how to move through the addiction. And so it can be helpful in that way too. And then if you have that PTSD, it helps you move through some of the symptoms. So it helps alleviate things such as intrusive thoughts, flashbacks, avoidant behaviors. So by targeting those various neurotransmitters in those systems, including the glutamate and the dopamine, ketamine can help you regulate that emotional response and really reduce those traumatic memories and the traumatic experiences you're having. So think of with triggers and how triggers, what that does to your nervous system. It helps you be able to solidify the tools that you're getting. It helps you release some of that stored trauma and helps you move through it. Now, this is why I want to be really clear that there is no magic pill out there. You can do ketamine and you can do it at an at-home treatment. One company I'll recommend to my client is MindBloom. And that can be beneficial. You can do it at home and you have that support system through the company, or you can go into a clinic and you can do it through an IV and you'll have the support through that company. But separate of that, I want to give my own personal opinion that I think it is essential that you are still working with somebody who is specialized and trained in either sexual addiction or infidelity or trauma and PTSD or ambitral trauma. The reason for this is because we want these tools that we're learning in our therapeutic work to be what's solidified. So there's no magic pill that you're going to go and all of a sudden it's just, oh, I take this medicine and now I'm all better. Everything's fine. There is still work that has to be done. And after you do a ketamine treatment, there's still this integration process of what I experienced during my treatment, and then what action steps do I need to take after? What things in learning and understanding did I get? And now what action steps do I need to take? So it's the same thing as in with like depression and anxiety. If somebody takes depression medication and they just pop a pill every day for the rest of their life, that's not going to make your depression instantly disappear. Depression, studies have shown, is best treated where if, yes, we're using medication, but you are using that medication to help you have the motivation and the energy to do those other healthy tools in your life that help to rewire and heal your brain. Then I would say, ideally, for those who can, not every brain can, but for those who can, then they are able to slowly wean their way back off of medication and be able to use these healthy skills in their everyday life. Now, some brains don't have that ability and have enough chemical imbalances or damage that they will need that extra support. But there are lots of brains today that we could be adding in these healthy tools and then letting those healthy tools with time be what moves us forward. This assistance can be hugely beneficial, but it requires that extra work to be done. I think of an analogy of going to the dentist. If I go to the dentist, I can go to the dentist and have Novocaine or not. If I have Novocaine, it's going to make that process of being at the dentist, if I'm getting like a cavity filled, so much less painful. It's going to be a much better experience. But after I leave the dentist, I still have the work of every single day brushing my teeth, flossing my teeth, using mouthwash, making sure I'm not having too much sugar or noticing what I'm putting in my mouth that's affecting my teeth. I still have to do the work in between the time of now and when I go to the dentist next. I could also go to the dentist. I could have all of the work done and have no Novocaine, have tons of extra pain in that process of getting fixed, and I would still have to do the work in between sessions, or I would have more pain by the next one. So ketamine can be one of those types of treatments that can absolutely help the healing process along, and you must continue to do your own work with it. So what does a ketamine session actually look like? A ketamine session looks different for everybody. I have had some clients who go into a ketamine session, and for them, it feels like a calmful meditation. I've had others go and it feels very real and very intense. I've had others come out of it where they feel extremely enlightened. One thing that I do see that across the board, I've had most of my clients report back is after doing ketamine, they will feel a period of a few days where they feel the effects of that ketamine almost ground them and calm them and keep them moving forward. Some have described it as almost like this little bubble around them that allows them just some additional peace and comfort. But it's that deeper peace and comfort within the body. That's why I like the word grounding. Now, I am one where I believe, I'd like to believe that the professionals who can help their clients the most are professionals who have done things themselves to be able to take clients where they have been. I don't believe that we can take our clients somewhere we haven't been in our own healing. And I'm not talking about ketamine right now. I'm talking about if I have never learned to have boundaries as a professional, how in the world am I going to help my clients be able to learn to have boundaries and establish them and really know and understand what that boundary looks like? So for me as a professional, one of the greatest gifts I can give my clients is really learning about boundaries, living boundaries, embracing boundaries in a healthy way that I can choose, not just big walls that push people out, because that's not really what boundaries are, but that I can have these boundaries that people get to come in and out as I determine, and that I really know and understand boundaries are what I allow. Me really knowing that, embracing that, allows me to help my clients on this path. And I could say that for a lot of different things. Me being able to learn how to trust again allows me to really help my clients know when and how and where for them to trust. If I never did this type of healing work, I would be a huge detriment to my clients, because if I don't know how to ever trust again, how in the world am I really going to help my clients learn how to do this? There's a term called the wounded healer. And I always thought it was really beautiful. I remember in grad school, them asking a question, and it was something along the lines of, how many of you in this room, and I want to say there's probably 25 of us in the room. They said, how many of you in the room have had something really hard and difficult happen in your life that has played into you wanting to become a therapist? And I kid you not, every hand in the room went up. Everyone. And they talked about this concept of the wounded healer, and the healer who has been wounded and who knows what pain feels like, but also knows what healing looks like, what a gift they can be to their clients. All of that being said, I remember one day on my CSAT boards, we have CSAT, like a listserv, a place where we can connect with each other and learn from each other. One of the professionals mentioned MindBloom, and they said, yeah, I've done ketamine through MindBloom, and it was really helpful, and it's really helpful for my clients. And I was like, that's interesting, because I had heard some of this research in other therapist consultation groups and other trainings. I've heard more and more therapists talking about different psychedelics, but ketamine especially being used for treatment with depression and with trauma. And so I was watching this thread, and therapist after therapist were talking about, yeah, I tried ketamine for me, and here's how it was beneficial. Or I've had clients who have done it, and here's how it's been beneficial. And so I did, through MindBloom, a 6-treatment ketamine treatment. And with your permission, I want to say with your permission, you're listening to the podcast, so I guess you're giving me your permission. But I'm going to share with you what some of those treatments were like for me. Now, I'm not saying this is what it's going to be like for everybody, because everybody's experience is going to be different. But this is what it was like for me and some of the healing that I had in it. So when I did my first ketamine treatment, I had to meet with a doctor first. They did some basic blood work. They checked things like what my heart rate was. They wanted to know body weight and height, so they knew how much to give me. And the first time I met with first the MD, and then I met with a coach, and I chose a coach who was a therapist because that brought me comfort. I thought that I would do better with somebody who was a coach and the therapist. And so I met with the coach. And we did some preparing for it. They made sure that I had a support person who was there with me. And then I did my treatment. And after my treatment, I met immediately with my support person again, so they could check in on me, see how I'm doing, and do some processing and some integration. So when I did my treatment, they gave me some little tablets that you would put in your cheek, and that would dissolve into your saliva. You don't swallow it. And then that would go into your bloodstream. From there, I would have that in my cheek for 7 minutes. After the 7 minutes, a little bell would ring, and I'm listening to music the whole time. And I spit out the extra spit, don't swallow it. And then they gave you this nice little face mask, and then you lay down. And I was, when I first started, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if this would be scary, if it would be hard, but I've done enough of my own individual work that I decided that I was going to trust the process, and I was going to work really hard not to be too much in my brain, because I'm very cognitive, and I would just really be in my body. So I closed my eyes, and it was interesting to me because it reminded me of brain spotting. If any of you have done brain spotting, which is a whole nother episode on another great tool for that somatic healing. But with brain spotting, you tend to go almost like in and out, like in these gentle waves where you notice and you feel and you process a lot more. And then you settle down and you sit with a calmness or a nothing. And then you move back into feeling and noticing and you go in and out of that, like you're just riding a gentle wave. And I noticed that with ketamine as well, that I would have times where I would be seeing things or imagining, seeing this imagery in my mind, and other times where I was just aware of here I am. I'm laying here and I have my face mask on. Some of the images that came to me were really interesting to me. On my first session, I had some stuff from my early childhood come up. And it was interesting because in it, I had a couple of different animals like show up as imagery around this memory. And I just noticed it. I want to say on that first one, I noticed the animal that stuck out the most is there was this octopus. So I'm seeing this memory from my childhood and I'm watching it almost like I'm watching a movie, but there's also this octopus almost like on a TV that's moving around the screen and just going, huh, interesting, like noticing that. And then that went away and then I had nothing. And then I would be taken into another thought and another memory or another experience. And I was taken to, and I think this was on my first treatment, I remembered when I had a miscarriage. And it was before my first child was born. So I have five kids. And before the five babies were born, I had a miscarriage. And in that miscarriage, I was young. I didn't know what to do. And I was in the bathroom and I was all alone and I couldn't leave the bathroom because of the bleeding. And I remember Luke wanting to help me and support me, but not knowing how, and realizing that there was a good chance I might be in the bathroom all night long. I just put a blanket and pillow on the floor. But he had gone to bed. And that night, I was all alone. And it was awful. It was an awful night. And I thought that I had done healing around that. I had processed it with Luke so many times over the years. I had felt feelings around it. I had even talked to a therapist about it. But in that first treatment, it came back. And my body was able, I don't know what other way to put it other than just release. My body was able to release so much of what I felt that day. And it's interesting because now when I talk about the miscarriage, when I feel it, the feelings aren't there in the same way. Like I know what I felt. There is a tinge of emotion, but it doesn't. My nervous system just doesn't respond the same way. There was some real healing that happened there. And then I had some other memories. I had one where somebody who had hurt me at a very tender age, I had put them like in a jail cell in this ketamine treatment. So I have all of these memories and experiences. And they go in and out, and some only felt like they lasted seconds. Others, I stayed with it a little bit more. Sometimes I felt so at peace and free. Other times I cried and felt feelings. The whole session or episode lasted, I would say, about 45 minutes. And by the time that it ended, I was feeling very calm, very relaxed. And I took off my mask and I took out my earplugs, which had been playing gentle music in my ears. And I started to journal. And in that journaling, I remembered the octopus. I remembered the jail cell. I remembered the miscarriage. And I was able to write down what stood out to me and what I felt. And I was able to see some patterns that happened. I was able to notice what things had been released and what things had maybe just moved some shifting around that I could see and feel that needed some more work on. And even like the octopus, I was like so intrigued that I had this animal show up that I jumped online and I looked up, what does an octopus, what does that meaning usually represent? And an octopus represents wisdom. They are one of the most intelligent animals out there. And I was able to look deeper into this wisdom that was coming and how that was showing up and how it was slowly moving around these different experiences. And in future ketamine sessions, now, side note, I love animals. I am very connected to animals. I would have a whole zoo if I could. And so I know that this is one way that my subconscious is connecting with myself is through animals and the symbolisms of animals. But it's been interesting because other animals that have shown up at different times. There was one time I did ketamine and the two animals that showed up in that session was a German shepherd and a polar bear. And when I had looked up, and I'm going off memory because it's been a long time, but when I looked up a German shepherd, that was really about protection and that they are very intelligent, wise dogs, but they're also usually used as protectors. And they're there with a job to do. And with a polar bear, polar bears handle really harsh conditions. And they are strong and they are resilient, but they have to be so in this like environment that's harsh. And I was able to go back and look at the time that I did that session and look at those two animals that had come up for me and how in that time, there were some really harsh elements around me where I did need protection and I did need to be strong. And my subconscious was helping me through that. And so it's been really interesting to see and learn really through those ketamine treatments, a deeper understanding about myself while also having this healing process. It is interesting now because I'm far enough out from those early treatments to go back and look at how much that ketamine really put into motion for me some action steps I needed to take in my life to move away from things or relationships that were actually harming me and not helpful for me. And for me to be able to step back and then learn and determine a healthier way that I want to engage. And then me being able to step back in or not based off of the relationship in a way that was more wise for me. So that for me has been a little bit of what my ketamine journey looked like in my healing. I won't share any details on what any of my clients have experienced in their individual sessions, but for everybody, it looks unique. And the research is out there that shows that this can be really beneficial. Now, I will say, never do any type of treatment without working with a professional, without going to your doctor. That's why I did like the company I used, that it used a medical professional to make sure that this actually was the right thing for me. And there was a lot of assessments I filled out ahead of time to make sure that I was safe to do it and it was right for me. It's not something everybody wants to do. It's not right for everybody. But it is a tool that can be really beneficial, especially if it's used with a level of consistency while we are working through some of these really heavy things. Do what you want with that. But I will say, healing of your nervous system is going to be essential in your healing journey. Most adults have dysregulation to their nervous system, A, just because of the world we live in, but B, because so much of parenting from previous generations has included a lot of trauma. And so it just is. We have a lot of dysregulated nervous systems out there, but what is so beautiful about the world we live in today is we have more tools than we ever had before. So whether you're doing your somatic healing through ketamine, through brain spotting, through EMDR, or you're doing it through yoga therapy or meditation, all of those somatic healings, ART is another one, no matter what you use, just make sure in your healing, and again, whether you are the one who's been betrayed or you're the one who's acted outside of your value system, whether who you are, healing that nervous system, doing that somatic healing in conjunction with your other healing is going to be beneficial. So, as always, thank you for hanging out with me this week, and I look forward to seeing you all next week.